Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast, where your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development, where we share original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. We hope you join us often for practitioner-oriented content around all things related to leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with Human Capital Innovations Podcast. If you enjoy the Human Capital Innovations Podcast, enjoy ad-free listening by going to the Patreon page, and please consider contributing even at the producer or sponsorship level. And please, leave a review. Thank you for your support. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast. In this HCI Podcast episode, I talk with Hassan Green about the future of human capital management. Hassan Green, welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you. You're joining us from New York. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And today we're going to be talking about the future of human capital management. What a fun topic. And I'm just super excited to be exploring this together with you today. You have a great background and great expertise that you bring to the table for this conversation. As we get started, I wanted to share Hassan's bio with everybody. Hassan Green is a full stack HR practitioner and human capital management specialist. He founded Humint Labs, a human capital management practice, to partner with VC and PE firms to provide human capital expertise to their firms and portfolio companies. And as I said, today we're going to be talking about the future of human capital management. Anything you would like to add by way of your background, your personal or professional context before we dive on into the topic?
You pretty well covered it. I would just say, you know, at Humint Labs, we partner with firms at the pre-investment, M&A, and pre-IPO stages to provide decision-making and decision-makers with expertise, tools, education to understand, manage, and report on their human capital.
Now, let's talk about the future of human capital. Now, certainly, if we look back in time before we start looking forward, we can see huge shifts over the past several decades, you know, from personnel management into the various kind of iterations of HR, and this people management, human capital management is now kind of the more common terminology. Where have you seen things come in recent years, and where do you see things going, say, in the next 5 to 10 years with human capital management?
The HR of old, you know, it was a cost center focused on lowering payroll, benefits, costs, and mitigating labor-related risks. And we have come a long way, such that the HR of today, it's a purveyor of talent, focused on attracting and retaining great talent. But we still have a ways to go. In the future, HR will be an asset manager focused on understanding and optimizing for how talent creates value both for themselves and for the organization. And this is, you know, the result of a couple of things. So first off, an evolution of perspectives that has informed both legal requirements in the public sector, but also in the private sector. You know, more and more investors are beginning to realize the value of HR and people data. And so in order for, you know, this idea that in order for HR to be taken seriously, we need to bring the data. And we've been enabled to do just that with the advancements in HR tech and work tech, such that these technologies have produced more and more HR and people data. And so here we are at a moment in time where we either need to take up the challenge or be left behind by competitors who will.
Yeah, and I guess that gets into kind of this idea of, well, why should we care about this? Why is it important? And, you know, to put it succinctly, it's because you will not be relevant in the marketplace if you don't lean into these changes and actually try to be on the forefront of the these evolutions, right? So it's really interesting to me as I see organizations kind of being dragged, kicking and screaming towards the new world of work and the new way of thinking about HR and talent and employee experience and all these related topics and issues, because, you know, they still see HR as kind of the HR of old, of 20, 30 years ago, and they don't see it as this new people analytics driven hub space to drive high performance in the organization, to enhance, you know, not only the ability to attract and retain great talent, but then to have cross-functional teams and collaborative teams that can innovate and iterate and bring value to the market. That is something that I think the last few years of the pandemic have demonstrated for a lot of organizations. They, you know, for many organizations, for the first time, you know, they're really able to wake up to this idea that, oh my goodness, HR is not just a cost center, it is a critical strategic driver of business success. And we'll see how it continue, you know, how people continue to lean into that and to adapt towards that reality versus how much people drag their feet and kind of get left behind. So for those companies that are less likely to adopt these changes, I mean, what do you think, you know, in terms of the next 5 years, how long will it take for them to fade into irrelevance and just become obsolete versus, you know, how much are they going to be pressured and just, you know, end up doing it, just kind of doing it behind the eight ball?
Yeah. And, you know, that's just that they have that choice. They can own it and take up the charge, or they can do it by way of being required to, right? So we have the SEC, who recently came out and started to require all U.S. publicly traded companies to report on their human capital. And some are just starting to. You know, the few front runners, if you will, are starting to do that. But it's still a very gray area in terms of what's required and what the structure is for how that is to be reported. And the leaders in the space are really going to make that difference and determine really what gets reported and how it gets reported. And just touching on something you said previously as it relates to the importance of you know, why we're doing this. In addition to, you know, this new world of work that we live in, there is this idea that human capital is the only appreciating asset in business. And by that, I mean all other assets depreciate over time, while human capital, if valued properly and invested in, appreciates over time, right? In addition, human capital is the only capital that directly impacts all other capital, so natural, manufactured, intellectual, financial. And we have some statistics to further support the need for measuring and managing human capital. But to those who are lagging, I would say it really doesn't behoove you. It doesn't benefit you insofar as, you know, human capital management at its center, it's as you mentioned, it's a performance driver, right? The two biggest drivers of performance are technology by way of mission and AI and people, right, by way of labor. And you're not doing your company any or its stakeholders any favors by not adopting human capital management, right? You'll be less competitive. You'll deliver lower returns than you would if you did adopt it. In addition, you're not doing your talent any favors because human capital management recognizes and rewards top performers. And by not adopting human capital management, you're really enabling low performance to flourish inside your company. And so I think, you know, if you're looking for a time horizon, with the SEC requirements, it's probably, you know, 3 to 5 years before companies really start to feel the the pressure and in some cases fines from not reporting their human capital and managing it accordingly.
Check out my new book, The Future Leader, Creating and Transforming Next Gen Organizations. Stemming from 2 decades of professional experience and over 600 in-depth interviews with executives, thought leaders, and scholars from across the globe, The Future Leader will help you explore the ordinary, everyday actions that will help you to prepare to lead in the future of work, to respond to an uncertain future, and to produce extraordinary results for individuals, teams, and organizations. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Academy, courses, micro-credentials, and certificates to upskill and reskill for the future of work. All HCI Academy courses, micro-credentials, and certificates are designed, developed, and delivered by award-winning and internationally renowned scholars, educators, thought leaders, executives, and practitioners. Our courses, micro-credentials, and certificates will help you make your mark on the future of work and make an immediate impact in your organizations. Check out the HCI Academy and our many course offerings and certificates to upskill and reskill for the future of work. Check out Human Capital Innovations magazine, Human Capital Leadership. Human Capital Leadership is a free, interactive e-magazine with the mission to help individuals, leaders, and organizations find innovative approaches to maximize their human capital potential. We publish issues quarterly in August, November, February, and May. Take a look at the latest issue and let us know what you think. Yeah, that all super important. And one thing you were talking about that I think is worth reiterating is the investment piece into human capital. It is an appreciating value, as you mentioned, but even if it wasn't, I mean, how much time, money, effort do we put into investing into and reinvesting into the maintenance and upkeep of other forms of capital? Right? That's just something we all accept as necessary part of doing business. And so, you know, when we talk about plant, equipment, property, of course, we're going to invest in the upkeep and the maintenance and the quality checks on those types of assets and capital. You know, I worked years and years ago, decades ago, I was working in a factory and those big press machines, you know, these are multi-million dollar ginormous press machines. And guess what? They cost a lot of money. And so they made darn sure that they had regular maintenance, that they had regular upkeep. And when there were new technologies that came out that were related to these big press machines, they would invest in those new technologies and integrate them into that big machinery. Of course they would, because it was a huge investment. And so it's a little bit, it's always been mind-boggling to me that organizations seem so willing to invest into these other forms of capital and assets that they have, and often, you know, really are less inclined to invest into their people, especially considering their people are the ones that bring value to the market. They're the ones that provide the products and services that interface with the customers. They're the ones where, you know, their skills and their competencies and capabilities will only increase through that investment into them. So their value increases over time. It seems like a no-brainer, yet you still have, you know, people of different kind of backgrounds and persuasions that still see it as a cost center and still see it as something that's just, you know, a bottomless pit of money. And so it's often one of the first budgets that gets slashed in an economic downturn, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's so true. And the reason that it's one of the first budgets to get slashed is because they're not measuring it properly, right? They don't have the tools in place. They don't have the models in place to truly understand the impact that human capital has on value creation for the business. Just a couple of statistics to throw out there. So as it relates to investing in our people, right? So you can invest in the health of your people, you can invest in training, you can invest in engagement. So there's been a number of studies. For example, the US Chamber of Commerce commissioned a study that found a 47% return on investment in health and well-being initiatives. Rand Corp, Johnson & Johnson, same thing. Anywhere between 271% return on investment to upwards of 500% return on investment in health. Then you get into training, where MIT and Accenture respectively performed studies that found a return on investment of anywhere between 250 and 350 percent return on investment in training. Engagement's another one. Gallup performed a study that found a return on investment in engagement. So rewards, recognitions, things of that nature, in your workforce. Decreased absenteeism by 41%, decreased turnover by 24% or more. And then, most importantly, increased productivity, sales, and profits by as much as 20% or more. So the data is there for those who are measuring it, right? And so that's what I'm getting at with the importance of human capital management being the future of HR, in that it really needs to sit as a center of HR and drive the other services, such that you use that data to inform your decisions around how to treat your workers, how to invest in them in order to realize the greatest value for your dollar.
Yeah, and those ROI numbers are insane, right? Usually if we see numbers like that, it's a complete no-brainer. Of course, you would invest into those types of programs, those types of initiatives, and yet, there's, still some lag. So I think we're getting there. It's going to take a little bit more time for some organizations, and other organizations are fully leaning into this and embracing it and ramping up their efforts in the human capital management space and leveraging and utilizing people analytics to greater extent to make really data-driven decisions that can help them to be successful. So I think we've done a good job of laying out, the importance of this, and how, the current environment's a little bit different than the past environment. What does this mean in the day-to-day lived experience of the average employee? In an org, say a young worker who doesn't know any different, they come out of, high school, college, whatever, they have their first job, they're new to the labor market, and now they're in corporate America or whatever. What would they expect to see as kind of the norm in terms of employee experience and implications for employees from this new human capital management perspective versus perhaps what we saw when we were young in our careers, or maybe the generation before us even?
Yeah, I think the most important part, it's going to require your, technology IT team coming together with HR to create a seamless experience, right? So we experience this dedicated, clunky processes and systems that, provided a minimum sort of viable experience around getting the most out of its people and supporting its people. And the future is going to require much more seamless interaction with technology. So I don't think new talent coming in is going to be inconvenienced. I believe that the technology that's going to be required for achieving this vision is one that really is built into the flow of work, such that it's measuring contribution, it's measuring various reviews and ratings and things in the flow of work as work is being performed, whether it's a project or something else. And then that data is collected and modeled and provided back to the talent to say, hey, listen, this is where you are. This is how we are looking at you as an individual and your contribution. This is what we're looking for. This is how you can help us close that gap And so it's a much more seamless, much more thoughtful experience that includes the individual as opposed to happening to the individual. And by that, I mean, as individuals, we have the ability to affect what our value is, right? So McKinsey did a lot of work on this insofar as they studied the value that talent, you know, the skills, knowledge, abilities that make up talent bring to bear on work and how that translates to individual human capital. And they outlined how you can increase your individual human capital by taking on new experiences, learning new skills, moving to a new job, and in the process, increasing your skill and increasing your value. So this isn't something that's happening to talent, to workers. This is something that's happening for workers such that they are no longer being managed according to screen grabs and keystrokes and surveillance, but rather what they actually contribute, right? What their actual work product is, which is what we've been saying we wanted for a long time now, particularly in this new world of work where the workforce is distributed and you know, remote.
The alchemy of truly remarkable leadership. Ordinary, everyday actions that produce extraordinary results. Consider how the nature of work has shifted over the past 50 years, with increased globalization, rapid technological advancement, and the shift in economic composition. The average job of today looks very different than the average job of 50 years ago. What will the jobs and organizations of tomorrow look like? Moreover, what does this all mean for organizational leaders? What are the core competencies and capabilities of organizations and their leadership that are prepared for continued disruption and geopolitical and socioeconomic shifts? Regardless of what the future holds, increasingly, leaders need to be socially minded, data-driven, decisive, champions of talent, and disruptors of the traditional notions of leadership, teams, organizations, and work. The alchemy of truly remarkable leadership will help you to explore your own leadership competencies and capabilities and consider ways to apply and implement them into your workplace and personal life. Bluer than Indigo Leadership, the journey of becoming a truly remarkable leader. Early in my adult life, I learned about an Asian proverb that translates as bluer than indigo. If you think about the color indigo, it is a brilliant, deep, and vibrant blue, what some would call the bluest of blues. To have something that is bluer than indigo is rare and truly remarkable. Contrary to popular myth, there is no one-size-fits-all or cookie-cutter approach to effective leadership. There is no silver bullet, no secret sauce, no go-to model that will solve all of your problems. The truth is, great leaders have all had their unique strengths and flaws, and have all had to discover and then pave their own distinctive path in their life's journey to fulfill their leadership potential. Bluer than Indigo Leadership will help you discover your own path and explore those ordinary, everyday actions that will help you respond to an uncertain future and produce extraordinary results for individuals, teams, and organizations. Yeah. And the crazy thing is I talk to so many people about these types of issues, and I still hear today about companies that are doing screen capturing, keystroke monitoring, and like all of that, because they feel, especially with distributed teams, they feel like they have to in order to keep control over their teams and to know what's really happening. And I just, you know, I just scratch my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, you just don't even get it, do you? We should be so much beyond that. And like you said, it should be about what do you produce? I don't care. If someone's more productive because they're able to like fiddle with something on the side while they're contemplating something, or because, you know, they take breaks at different points in time during the day, or they if people just are different and they work different. And so to be monitoring every second of every day of what people do is silly. I mean, it's a waste of resources. And, you know, let's think more in terms of performance management and helping our people to achieve their potential rather than treating them like kids and trying to control them and monitor everything they do. It's just a bizarre thing that unfortunately still exists in the world today, and we need to get past it. And you're absolutely right. All of these changes that we've been talking about, these are not to make it harder for employees. It's for employees. It's to make their experience better. You know, when I have students coming out of the university, out of my classes, entering the workforce, you know, I say, this should be a better workplace environment for you today than it was for me when I started, you know, 20 plus years ago. It should be. Now, it won't always be, depending on where you go. And there's always roulette, you know, leadership roulette. You never know what you're going to get. But more organizations get it now than they used to. And there's just generally better practices. And we're using data better than we ever had before in order to make these sorts of positive changes. All right. So let's, in our remaining little bit of time, let's talk about what you see coming, you know, say in the next 10 years, because we've seen a lot of changes in the recent years, but I think the pace of and rate of change has only increased. What do you see as some of the big changes coming down the pipeline?
Yeah. So I think the biggest one is, and this is where Human Labs really operates and thrives, and that is shaping how companies are valued and invested in, right? So we talked about the individual contributor, but then the ability to measure and manage the impact of human capital and value creation, what that means for companies as a whole and for investors, is such that investors and employees, the talent, they can, or they will eventually be able to look at a company's portfolio and see human capital data represented just as financial capital data is represented today. And they can make decisions on where they want to put their money, where they want to spend their time, you know, in the case of talent, who they want to work for, based on how those companies are measured and valued from a human capital perspective. And they will be able to look at and dig into, just as they can now in the financial, on the financial side of it, they'll be able to dig into the human capital side and say, hey, these companies are, you know, not doing right by their workers. They're not demonstrating any real investment in their people, which sends the message that they don't value their people, right? And so I believe the future 5-10 years from now, it's going to look very much like the way companies are viewed today through this, you know, idea of portfolio management, where you are investing in and trading on companies, but according to the human capital as much as their financial capital.
Yeah, super interesting. Hassan, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. I know we've just scratched the surface. There's a whole lot of other things we could explore together, but we're going to leave it there for now today. Before we wrap things up, though, I wanted to give you a chance to share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, your team, and then give us a final word on the topic for today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. You can find me on Twitter, Hassan Green. I'm also on LinkedIn, and my LinkedIn has all my contact information if you want to reach out. Happy to talk to you about human capital management and how we can increase the value for your people and for your company. And I would just say, don't wait, you know, start today. Start by looking at how your HR function is structured and think about how you can leverage human capital management to drive better outcomes. And for individuals, for talent, same thing, start today, invest in your health, seek out learning opportunities that are going to help you increase your value. Understand that your decisions, your actions today are either a credit or debit to your future self and your future value.
Wonderful. Hassan, it's been a real pleasure. I encourage my audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what you and your team can do for them. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe, that you can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Do you enjoy the Human Capital Innovations podcast? Enjoy ad-free listening by going to the Patreon page, and please consider contributing even at the producer or sponsorship level. And please leave a review. Thank you for your support. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Human Capital Innovations podcast. I hope you stay healthy and safe, and that you have a great week. Check out my new book, The Future Leader, Creating and Transforming Next-Gen Organizations. Stemming from 2 decades of professional experience and over 600 in-depth interviews with executives, thought leaders, and scholars from across the globe, The Future Leader will help you explore the ordinary, everyday actions that will help you to prepare to lead in the future of work, to respond to an uncertain future, and to produce extraordinary results for individuals, teams, and organizations. Welcome to the Human Capital Innovations Academy, courses, micro-credentials, and certificates to upskill and reskill for the future of work. All HCI Academy courses, micro-credentials, and certificates are designed, developed, and delivered by award-winning and internationally renowned scholars, educators, thought leaders, executives, and practitioners. Our courses, micro-credentials, and certificates will help you make your mark on the future of work and make an immediate impact in your organizations. Check out the HCI Academy and our many course offerings and certificates to upskill and reskill for the future of work. Check out Human Capital Innovations magazine, Human Capital Leadership. Human Capital Leadership is a free, interactive e-magazine with the mission to help individuals, leaders, and organizations find innovative approaches to maximize their human capital potential. We publish issues quarterly in August, November, February, and May. Take a look at the latest issue and let us know what you think. The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership, Ordinary Everyday Actions That Produce Extraordinary Results. Consider how the nature of work has shifted over the past 50 years. With increased globalization, rapid technological advancement, and the shift in economic composition, the average job of today looks very different than the average job of 50 years ago. What will the jobs and organizations of tomorrow look like? Moreover, what does this all mean for organizational leaders? What are the core competencies and capabilities of organizations and their leadership that are prepared for continued disruption and geopolitical and socioeconomic shifts? Regardless of what the future holds, increasingly, leaders need to be socially minded, data-driven, decisive, champions of talent, and disruptors of the traditional notions of leadership, teams, organizations, and work. The Alchemy of Truly Remarkable Leadership will help you to explore your own leadership competencies and capabilities and consider ways to apply and implement them into your workplace and personal life. Bluer Than Indigo Leadership, the journey of becoming a truly remarkable leader. Early in my adult life, I learned about an Asian proverb that translates as bluer than indigo. If you think about the color indigo, it is a brilliant, deep, and vibrant blue, what some would call the bluest of blues. To have something that is bluer than indigo is rare and truly remarkable. Contrary to popular myth, there is no one-size-fits-all or cookie-cutter approach to effective leadership. There is no silver bullet, no secret sauce, no go-to model that will solve all of your problems. The truth is, great leaders have all had their unique strengths and flaws, and have all had to discover and then pave their own distinctive path in their life's journey to fulfill their leadership potential. Bluer Than Indigo Leadership will help you discover your own path and explore those ordinary, everyday actions that will help you respond to an uncertain future and produce extraordinary results for your individuals, teams, and organizations.